Let's begin. We're up to Perek Tes, we're up to Pasuk Beis. Perek Yud, Pasuk Beis. Leiv Chacham Limino, Leiv Kisil Lismala. This is a very famous Pasuk. There are many interpretations. The heart of the wise man is towards his right, and the heart of the fool is leaning towards Lismala, towards the left. I guess everyone is a politician. let's see the Mitzudah Stavi Pasuk Beis. Leif.
Right has always been the good side.
The good side? Okay. Okay, Perek Yud Pasuk Beis. Let's see over here the Mitzudah Stavi. Leif, Rotzolaymar, Haseichel HaNotua Beleif. The Seichel that is planted, that is rooted in the heart. Limino, Rotzolaymar. Mizum lo b'chol in yonav, it is prepared. Miyadim tzeenu be'es hatzarech. V'amah b'loshan shel, this is a borrowed expression. So first of all, the yimin over here, according to the mitzvah, that means that it's accessible, it's present, it's available for his heart is there to give him guidance. It is prepared and immediately the person needs to consult with his mind, with his heart, to know what to do, to make a proper decision in life. He right away has an opportunity to do so. This is a borrowed expression. It's quicker. The right is always represents something which is available. The left represents, in Chazal, in turn symbolic, represents something which is not available, which is distant. It's not quick. It's not readily accessible at the time of need. So this is the very unique interpretation of the Mitzudah Stavit. The right and the left represent, they are symbols of being available, availability. Today when you try to call someone with all the new technology, no one's available. Everyone said years ago, no one had cell phones. You had to call on a regular landline. But yet you'd be able to call someone, you get someone. Today everyone has a cell phone, email, texting. No one's available. No one's available. You can leave messages until someone gets back to you. It can take days. Okay, but over here it's telling us that the Leif Chacham Limino, it's symbolic, the heart of the right, the heart of a Chacham, he has access, it's available, it's accessible, the sources, the wellsprings of knowledge. But the Leif Kisil, the small of the Kisil, the heart of the Kisil, the source of intellect, of knowledge, to make a proper decision in life, it's distant from the Kisil. Rashi, Leif Chacham Limino, Chachmoso Mizumenes Lehatoisei El Derech HaMeyumenes Letoivosei. Rashi is a little bit different. Rashi, on the one hand, says it's Mizumenes. Okay, it's prepared, it's nearby. But Rashi adds something a little bit more than the Mitzudus. He says, Lahatoisei el derech hameyumenes. He's also using the right to refer to the proper path in life. Whereas the left, v'leiv kisil l'smolo l'okshoy min haderech, to uproot him, to dislodge him min haderech hameyumenes, from the proper path in life, Shehit Tiferes Venochalo, which would have been a Tiferes, a splendor, and something which is fitting for the person. So it's very clear that according to Rashi, the word the right and left means the proper derech in life versus the not proper derech in life, a road that leads him to harm. Mitzudas did not say that. Mitzudas purely focused right and left, mean is it prepared, is it accessible, is it not accessible. Rashi starts off like the Mitzudas, it's Mizumenes, but it's more than just Mizumenes, it's going to guide the person, his heart will guide him to the place where he wants to be. Whereas the Kasil, the foolish person, will be guided to a place, through the place where he ultimately does not want to be. Targum has a whole different interpretation. He takes the right and left representing Oirech Yamin Bimina Bismaila Oisher V'Chavit. The right represents L'Shem Shemayim, and Oirech Yamin means of here Oilam Haba, Oilam Shekula Oruch, and the left represents Oisher V'Chavit, when a person does the mitzvah Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim. Targum says, So no, the Malam is drawing from the Targum. Targum, let's see over here what it says in Pasuk Beis. Liba, the heart. Oh, we're going to come to that in a moment. I'm going to come to that. Okay, I have many Purushim. But first, what it says over here in the Targum is Liba, the Hakim, the heart of the wise men, if it wants, Lemikne, Oy Raisa, the Is Yehevas, Beyond Yemino, the Hashem. Mimino, Eish Dos Lomo. The Torah was given from Hashem's right hand. A fiery law was given from Hashem's right hand. So when it says in this pasuk, "Leif Chacham Limino," the Chacham will always consult with what the Torah has to say about any given matter. He needs to make a decision. He will seek Das Torah. What is Das Torah? I have no idea. But whatever it is. He will seek out the knowledge. He wants to follow the ways of the Torah. The Liba Dishatya, but the heart of the foolish person, the nickname Nixon, his entire life is geared and is directed towards the accumulation of wealth. Kisaf, Udehav, to acquire Nixon assets, silver and gold. So this is how we learn from the pasuk. The heart of the Chacham wants to acquire the Torah with the right hand. The heart of the heart of the Ksil has a desire to acquire assets. Obviously, this is borrowing from Bimino Oishar V'Chavad Bismillah Bimimino Arachayim Bismillah Oishar V'Chavad. And there, the left refers to things that are physical qualities, physical accomplishments, and the right refers to spiritual accomplishments. So here, that's really what the Targum is doing, is plugging that idea into the pasuk. Where they say, there's a very nice bracha, sounds you should be zeicht in the Kabbal the Torah with both hands. What do you mean with both hands? The right and the left, you should be zeicht to mekabel the Torah to succeed in accomplishing and learning Torah, but you also should have the Oishar V'Chavayit. You have the Oishar V'Chavayit, so then you can support yourself, and you'll have a...
Torah
the right. So you should be Zoycha, they say, for Kabbalah Satorah, Shavuos, or Simcha, so you should be Zoycha to Kabbalah the Torah with both hands. So there it's an expression, it's a bracha that people give one another. Okay, so this is Sachako. We have over here the three basic mahalchim. We have the mitzudos, we have Rashi and the Targum. To review, the mitzudos says the Chacham always is ready to when a person is presented with a dilemma, the Chacham will be able to use Chochma to decide what to do. A kesil, it's distant. Chochma is distant from his mind, from his heart, and when he is presented with a dilemma in life, it's not decided with chochma, it's decided with foolishness, with whatever feels right to do at that time. Rashi, a little bit different. Rashi says the Chacham is always guided to do what's a teferes. Leiv Chacham limino, the heart of the Chacham will bring him to a place where he wants to be, will put him on the right path in life to reach a derech, a goal which will be a splendor and noich and pleasant for him later on. The Ksil doesn't follow the right path. He ends up doing foolish things which result in shame and embarrassment for himself and his family.
Why can't he go to the Chacham and ask him to be the
age? That's all part of the foolishness. That's all part of the foolishness. So he thinks, I know better. I don't have to go ask questions. I know better than all of the wise men. That's exactly all what the problem is, to know that you don't know what the answer is and you should seek guidance. That itself is a form of chachma. Okay, and the third parish, as we just mentioned, is the Targum. It means that the chacham has a desire to learn Torah and the kesil has a desire to accumulate wealth. Okay, so there are many more parishim in this pasuk, more of drushim. Rabbi Chol touched upon one of the popular drushim on this pasuk, Leiv Chacham Limino, Leiv Chacham Leiv Ksil Lismolo, Haroitze Lahachkin Yadrim, Haroitze Lahashir Yatsbin. If you're in the Beis HaKnesses and you're facing Mizrach, and you want to be, your Iker Klech and Tefillah is to be a Talmud Chacham, you should turn yourself towards the south. If you're facing Mizrach, which side of the Beis HaKnesses is the south? The right side. Why the south? Because on the right side of the Beis Hamikdash was the menorah. In the Beis Hamikdash, you were facing west. When you face the Kodesh HaKodeshim, you're facing west. So there it was the left side. But that's in the Beis Hamikdash. So the menorah was on the Doraim. The menorah is symbolic of Torah, of Chochmah. So when you're in the Beis HaKodesh, but on the Beis Hamikdash on the north side, opposite the menorah was the Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach is symbolic of Oysher, of wealth. The Mizbeach represents Lechem.
I thought Shulchan.
The Shulchan, yeah, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Not the Mizbeach, the Shulchan. The Shulchan represents the Lechem. The Lechem upon him represents Oysher. If a person's focus in the Tfil is that he should be a wealthy person, then he should tilt his body towards the north.
That's what's brought down,
What a person should want to. That's why the rabbi normally sits on the left side. Why? Why does the rabbi normally sit on the left side? So the rabbi should be able to tilt towards the right. Because if you're on the left side, if you're going to be on the right side, and you're going to tilt towards the right. If you're going to be on the right side of the Beis Hamikdash, you're facing Mizrach. And if when you're facing Mizrach, you're going to stand on the right side, and you're also going to face the right, you're in the corner. It looks strange. The rabbi is separated from the tzibur. But if the rabbi is on the left side and he's tilted towards the right, then it looks good. And the rabbi also has the advantage of the rabbi is supposed to always seek chokhmah, haroitze lehachkin yadrin.
For Shmona Esrei.
Interesting. So this fits in with this pasuk. You're in the Beis HaKnesses. Haroitze lehachkin, a person wants to become a wise person, he should tilt towards the south. The south will always be on the right side, assuming that you're davening towards Mizrach. But if a person wants to be as wealth, then he will tilt towards the north, which will be on the left side. That's pretty much what the Targum says. The Targum over here says that the right represents Torah, and the left represents Nichsin, Kisaf, Uzahat. It represents the assets, silver and gold. So that's the right, that's the left, that's the direction where the person is going to tilt when he is in the Beis HaKnesses.
In this case, the Rambam is
Mizrach. Mizrach. Here in this shul, it's from the few rare shuls that Aaron is facing Mizrach. A lot of shuls in this neighborhood, the Aaron doesn't, it faces Doraim.
It's a building. By me, it's Mizrach on the upstairs. The downstairs shul is not.
It's not.
Mizrach upstairs is Doraim.
Upstairs it's Marif?
Yeah.
Upstairs it's Taka, upstairs it's Marif. Okay, so there I guess you have to do the opposite. Then the rabbi has to turn directions. Okay, but generally speaking, in the Beis HaKnesses, traditionally we always lived on the west side, of Yerushalayim. That's where most of the population, Europe, Russia, Spain, all of the major countries were all pretty much to Eretz Yisrael towards, we are on the west. So therefore, we face towards Yerushalayim, generally we daven towards the Mizrach. It's not perfect because it all depends where you are. It's a little bit north, a little bit south, depending where you are. Okay, but generally, okay. So that's one idea. Another idea is, when you are in the Beis Hamikdash itself, you're facing west. In the Beis Hamikdash itself, the Kodesh HaKodashim is towards the west. Chazal say, Kodshei Kodashim, it's a Torah, Kodshei Kodashim Shechitasen Batzofay, and Kodshim Kalim Shechitasen B'chol Mokay. So a person who tries to achieve a Madrega of Kodshei Kodashim, to reach the highest level of Kodshei Kodashim, Shechitasen, it's homiletically interpreted to mean that he will humble himself, he will slaughter himself, Batzofay. The tzafon, when you're facing west, the tzafon is on the right side. But if you don't want to be on that madreg of kodshei kodashim, you just want to be kodshim kalim. Once in a while, you'll seek a degree of holiness, but most of the time, I'm willing to play it cool, to be kal, a low daidarga. They are on the left, meaning left doesn't mean only left. It means kodshei kalim need not be slaughtered on the north. Kodshei Kalim Shchitasen B'chol Makam can be slaughtered anywhere in the Azara, even the left, And that's what it's alluded to in this pasuk, Leiv Chacham Limino. The heart of the Chacham is towards his right. He is striving for the highest level of sanctity. Kodshei Kodashim, Shchitasan, Bat Safai. But Leiv Kisil, the person that's foolish, does not appreciate the advantages of achieving the highest level of Kedusha they can possibly achieve in this world, is Bismolo, is even on the left. Meaning he's not focused only on the Kodshei Kodashim, he's willing to go and spend his life on a madrega of Kodshim Kalim, which is not exclusive to the Tzofen, which can also be slaughtered on the left side of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, there's another very nice thought. I didn't see it here, but I remember this from my Girsa D'Yam Kusa. Kodshei Aleiv Chacham Limino, whenever you learn a daf, right? You go to the daf Yomi. So you learn one daf, another daf, another daf. Right, and now they keep on going. The pages keep on turning. What's the difference between the people that really learn the Daf Yomi and the people that just go to the Shir once in a while occasionally? Or even if you come every single day, the difference is, do you review what you learned? If you're a Chacham, the Leiv Chacham is always going back to the right. What are you going back to the right? When you turn the pages, if you go to the right, that means you're going backwards. Why are you going backwards? You're seeking to review what you've learned yesterday, the day before. The Leif Kisil is always asking, when is the next Siyam? How many more pages until we get to the end? We just keep on turning the pages for the sake of turning the pages. The Admaila is of learning is always, I mean, there are probably 100 Amorei Chazal that tell us about the Mailos of reviewing what you learn. It's not just enough to learn, but the goal is to acquire, to conquer, to retain what you're learning. And that requires constantly going to the right, turning the pages to the right, not just focusing on what's coming next, the next day going to the left.
Some of the Mepharshim say that's when not that old, obviously, but when they started the printing press, if you notice in every Gemara except the three blot, there's four lines of Rashi or Tosus on top of the Gemara to teach you that it's a Zecha, that you should learn everything you learn four times.
Four times.
That's all.
Very nice.
You have to prepare it, learn it, review it again and again. That's the whole idea.
Beautiful. Four times.
That's how they decided to
define. A reminder. Every single daf has a reminder.
Except for the end, the last plot in Sanhedrin and Nehovah Zara. There was no Tosis already over at the end. It's three blot that don't have.
It's three of the whole Shas.
Yeah.
The whole Shas. 2,711 daf. Only three of them. Wow.
So the three of Sanhedrin and one in Nehovah Zara.
That's a popular number. 2,000.
I read it in a Sefer and I.
Okay, there's another popular Vart. This Vart comes from the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, beautiful Vart. Leiv, what are the letters that appear before Lamed and Beis? Before the Lamed is the letter Chaf, and before the letter Beis is Aleph. Aleph and Chaf spell the word Ach. Ach is always a miut. What letters appear on after the letters Lamed and Beis? Mem, after Lamed is Mem, and Beis is Gimel. Those two letters spell the word Gam. So when you go to the right, Leiv Chacham Limino, the heart of the Chacham is to the right of the subject of this pasuk, which is the word Leiv. The right, when you're going backwards, you're going to the right, it's Ach. Ach means he humbles himself. Ach is a miut. Kol Achin in Chazal is a miut. You humble yourself. The heart of the wise man is always looking to achieve humility. Leiv Kisil is l'smol, is what's on the left? Gam. Every gam in Tanakh is a ribui. A ribui, we're coming to include, when it says in the pasuk gam, the word darish, we want to include this case, the kisil is always looking for greatness. He's always looking for more.
Who says this?
For more, this is what Ibn Ezra says. Ibn Ezra says, well, so this is, I'm sorry, Mechlol Yofi, I'm making a mistake, Mechlol Yofi, another sefer, Mechlol Yofi. So that's another. It's a fourth interpretation of the drush of Leiv Kisil. Okay. So now and then we have just one more just one medrash. came one particular medrash which attracted my attention. In Bereishis Rabbah, the Gemara darshins Leiv Chacham Livino Ze Yaakov Avinu Shenemar Vayokum Yaakov Ayisa Esbonav V'Achakach V'Yes Noshov. His heart is to the right. Now, I guess this is drawing really from Rashi. From Rashi, Rashi's interpretation that the heart of the Chacham does something which is proper, which is a Tiferes Lo. Yaakov Avinu, when he traveled on his way, he says that first he took his bonav, his sons, and then it says he took his wives. His wives were secondary to his children. Whereas when Esav traveled, Vayikach Esav es noshav the esbonav. First he took his wives, and then he took his children. So when we draw off what Rashi said, that the Chacham, his heart, it brings him to Feres, this marriage is telling us a very proper, a very powerful Musa, is that a person's children, to some degree, comes before his wife's, or his wife. Because the children represent the goal, represents the product.
The wife represents now, the children represent. Then
the future. And the wife also, you can make of it what you want, but this is what it says in the Medrash. I mean, you have to be, obviously everything has to be done with balance. I once saw a clip, okay, this always sticks out of my mind. I once saw a clip, probably it was on YouTube, they were showing how they train us soldiers, Marines, or whatever they were, in the Navy. They were away from their wives for a very long time, for a couple of months on a tour, and they were trained. They were talking to the group of young soldiers who left their wives when they were pregnant. At the time they were sent, they left for Iraq, Afghanistan, wherever they were going. In the United States Army, their wives are pregnant. Now they're coming back a year later, or whatever it was, 6-9 months later, and their wives have already given birth. And they were telling them what to do when you see your wife for the first time. When the ship docks and you see your wife for the first time, what to do. Don't do something foolish, especially when the media, why is the Army doing this? I have a feeling they were doing this because the media is going to be there. And they don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want these young kids that were 21, 22 years old, they don't want them to do something foolish that will embarrass the United States military. So they were telling all these different things, what to do, how to conduct themselves. They showed this clip on YouTube, you can look it up, what to do when they greet their wives for the first time when the ship docks. So they said, you who have not seen your children, your wives have given birth, so you're going to have a dilemma. Who should you greet, embrace first? Your newborn baby, your children, or should you embrace your wife? So they said, don't make the foolish mistake of embracing the baby. It's my child. This is my bechor, right? It's my bechor. My wife, I already know. I know my wife already. I'm on the verge of getting divorced. But so they said, there's a very big mistake. It's made a very big rishim on me, this clip.
Right.
It's what to learn from everything.
Right.
He says, when you come and the ship docks, and you go off to begin, you greet your wife, and your wife will be holding in her hands a newborn baby that you've never seen before. Your priority is to greet and embrace your wife, not the baby. The wife is the one who you married. The wife is the one who is your part, has been waiting, is your partner. It's very nice. You have a child. It's what?
The baby don't know the difference anyway.
Well, obviously the person, the soldier who's been away, is obsessed with the child. I would imagine that if a person, this is his firstborn child, he's probably obsessed. It's probably his wife sent him pictures. His wife was in labor. She probably has tinnitus. You were away. You were not present when I gave birth. And it made a reshim, and he made a very strong point. Don't make that foolish mistake of embracing the baby first. First you embrace your wife. The wife is the one who you are loyal to, who you're married, is your partner in life. Now this medrash is not a stira. I just want to point out this medrash over here says that Yaakov Avinu, when he traveled, who did he put in front of him? First things were, the first priority one were the children. The second priority was his wives. Esav, when he traveled, his priority was his wives, and then came the children. It's not a contradiction. It just means there's a balance. There's a time for everything. But in the big picture of things, Chazal tell us, your priority are your children, not your wife. And this is, Chazal used this pasuk here to express, to bring out that idea. Leif chacham limino, dover, that is a teferet slow, v'noicheloi, the children. Leif kisil l'smolo, Esav, his priority was Noshav, his wives, and then the children. That was not a teferet in the big picture, in the history, when we record history, it's not considered to be a compliment for Esav. Okay, so Sachal Kah, I think we've gone through over here, besides the three Perushim of the basic, the Mitzudos, Rashi, and Targum, I think we have five different Mahalchim, five other different Derushim in right and left to review. Gam verse Ach, Haretzel Hachkim Yadrim, and Kodshe Kodoshim Shchitosan Bat Sofoin, and the fifth one we just mentioned is the Medrash of Yaakov versus Esav in regard to their children and their wives. So let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, now we start a new section. New section begins Pasuk, it's still, we're still continuing in this theme. Pasuk Gimel Vigam Baderech Kishe Sochol Hoylech. There's an extra hey here in the word. And as the foolish person when he travels on the derech, liboy chaser, his heart is lacking, v'amar lakol sacholu, he tells everyone that he's a fool. Better keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool, than open it and remove all doubt. Right, you've all heard that, I said it over many, many times. Again, one more time. Better keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool, than open it and remove all doubt. Where does that expression come from? This pasuk. Right, that's what it says. V'gam, the real fool is v'gam baderech, when the kesheh sochol helech liboy chaser, when the foolish person who travels on the road, his heart is lacking. Even when he's traveling, the omar lechol, he tells people that he's a fool. He opens his mouth and he lets people know that he's a fool. If he would just keep his mouth shut, people would not know. People would think that he's a genius. All right, let's see pasuk gimel. Megamba in the Mitzudos David. Megamba derech afilu biyosai baderech shloi b'mokal moishava. Even when the fool is not at home, he is away. Afilu kishahu holech ve'enu mitzakev. Nireh lakol, he's not stationary. Nireh lakol shu chotzer sechel. Everyone can observe. Everyone can take note that he is a foolish person. The Amar lakol, he tells all. Right. So lemar maasav v'inyanov loy b'sechel. His actions, his conduct, is not done with wisdom. The chiilu b'fiv, it's chiilu, he says b'fiv, yoy malakol shu sochal, is a fool. He does not know how to conduct himself when he is not at home. Then seemingly, that is, see, when the person, this is the foolishness of the person. When you're at home, you can't hide. When a person is in his natural habitat, people know. After you can fool people maybe for a short period of time, but after a period of time passes, everyone knows where you're holding your life. But when you're not home, you're not in your hometown, and you're on the road, no one knows who you are. Now's your chance to fool everyone. Now's the chance to earn some respect. At home, no one's going to show you any respect because you're a fool. But if I go on vacation, I go somewhere, so no one really knows who I am. So maybe now, at least for the time being, I will earn their respect. That is the sickness. That is the sickness, the foolishness of the Sochal. That even when he travels to a distant location where he has an opportunity to earn respect, he squanders that opportunity. He reveals immediately through his words, through his actions, that he's a foolish person, and he loses that as well. That's the difference between a fool and a wise man. A wise man takes advantage of an opportunity. A fool, he squanders an opportunity. Rashi, Pasik, Gimel, V'amal HaKol, Sochol Hu, B'halichasai, U'bidiburoi, HaKol, Ma'akidin, Shu Shaita, through here, when he travels, and when he through his words, everyone recognizes that he is a fool. Okay, let's see the Targum, Pasik Gimel, V'af, B'orcha, Saricha. Now he adds in over here a word, I don't know why he adds this word over here, B'orcha, Saricha, in this crooked path. See, it's interesting. According to Rashi, the Mitzudos, we're just talking about when he travels, when he's not at home. He's not ma'akev. The Mitzudos really elaborates. When he's not ma'akev, he's not stationary. The Targum says that through his crooked ways, Be'orcha Saricha, B'derech, which means a crooked path, Be'idon the Shatya, at the time, the Shatya Azel, when the foolish person travels in his crooked path, Libei Chasir Min Chochmes, so his heart is void of knowledge. Va'aved milin delos saknin li'is avoda. He does things that are not proper, which are not fitting to do. V'chola amrin deshatya, who all say about him. Now here is something very different than the simple interpretation of the pasuk according to Targum. It's not that he says, I am a fool. It's other people say about him that he is a fool. See, the simple translation is va'omar lakol Sochel Hu, he tells everyone, Rashi right away, so what do you mean he tells? Through his actions and through his deeds, it's as if he's making a declaration to society, I am a foolish person. That's seemingly what the Targum is saying, they're saying a little bit different. He's saying, the Hula Omrin, everyone says about him, the Shatihu, that he's a fool, because he travels with foolishness. It's a continuing in pasuk base. As he travels, he does foolish things. His derech in life is a crooked path. It's a crooked path. And therefore, v'omar lakol, it's said about him by all. It's a different way of translating the words. It's said about him by all that he is a sochel, that he's a foolish person. It means anything, but it's a different way of translating. It's right. It's just a different way of translating the pasuk. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Im ruach hamoshel tale olecha bekoimcha al tanach. If the spirit, the will, ruach sometimes means the will, or it means the desire. We'll see a few interpretations in a moment of the moshel, the leader. Ta'aleh lecha, ascends upon you, comes upon you. Don't worry, do not panic. If you are in hot pursuit, if you are being pursued by the Moshel, mikoimcha al tanach, do not abandon your station. Why not? Ki marpeh. Marpeh is a hard word here to translate. We'll see different interpretations. If you loosen yourself, you don't flee. You humble yourself. We'll translate it now for the moment. If you humble yourself, yaniach chatoim gidolim, you'll be able to be forgiven for great sins. The only reason why the Moishel is tale olecha, is coming upon you, is because you have sinned. It's because you have committed a crime. If you confess and you acknowledge your guilt, that will serve as an atonement for your sins. We see this in America. In America, you probably never like this to such a degree, is where if a person is accused of a crime, confessing and saying chotasi, you see this in the news all the time, people who go and they plead innocent, and they go to trial, even if they're really innocent. Unfortunately, the system is not 100% fair. They nail them. When you fight the system, when a person is accused of committing a crime and you say I'm innocent and you fight, it's a very big struggle. And if you lose, you lose big, very, very big. But if you confess, yeah, you're right, chatosi, avisi, pashati, or
the mayor of Princeton.
Yeah.
After 6 years, they re-elected a mayor.
They re-elected a mayor. Ad kedei kach. Look at Bill Clinton. He's a celebrity, Bill Clinton. The younger generation, I read an article, the younger generation, people today who are 18 years old, college students, don't even know what happened. The bizyonis that Bill Clinton went through. What? What? They don't even know the degree of bizyonis, his chait, the chatoim of Bill Clinton. It's a different generation. Okay, but the rule is, the pasuk is telling that a person confessed and the person says chotasi avisi pashati, I have done an avera, I'm going to go for therapy, I'm going to speak to my therapist, to my rabbi, to my priest, all of the above, in order to achieve atonement, it goes a very, very long way. And this advice was given by Shlomo HaMelech. And in fact, you don't have to, in fact, it's really a chazal. This is the difference between David and Shaul. David and Shaul were both accused of doing averos. Shaul did not wait for Shmuel. The first chait of Shaul was, he was told that I'm going to come to this location and we're going to offer a sacrifice together to Hashem. I'll meet you there. Shaul arrives and Shaul meets the people, and the people start pressuring him. It's getting late. Let's bring the sacrifice. And Shaul caves into public pressure. And Shmuel comes and says to him, what did you do? And Shaul says, he denies he did anything wrong. When Shaul kills Agag, when he does not kill Agag, all of the various chatam, not to go through all the details now, but all the various chatam, in the beginning, Shaul resisted. I did not do anything wrong. And because there was... What? He blamed other people. It's not my fault. He legitimized his avera. He rationalized it's not an avera. And he tried to argue with Shmuel. And because of this, he lost his malchus. But when David was nichshol with Bathsheba, David's main chait, he was nichshol with Bathsheba, and Nasan HaNavi comes and says to him, what have you done? The first thing David says is, chotasi. The first thing he says, I confess, I have done an avera. So Chazal learned from this is that if a person will just immediately confess his avera, it's exactly what it says in this pasuk, in ruach ha-moshel tal elecha, if you are accused of a crime, the moshel, the leader, the authority is coming, his will is to come upon you and to punish you and to bring you down, to take you away. Mikoimcha al tanach, don't flee, don't run away, stay where you are. And basically we mean we stay where you are. He's going to elaborate kimarpe, if you will loosen yourself. Marpe comes from the expression of rafa, soften yourself, acknowledge your shortcomings, that you are a soft person, you have made mistakes. Yaniach, that will cause to go and pass. It will pass even chato'im gedolim. David bin Michal with Bathsheba is a very great chait. It borders on an issue of eshes ish. But when David said chotasi, that saved his malchus. David was able to remain as melech, even though when Shaul, what he had done was minor relative to what David, but Shaul refused to acknowledge his sin, his chait, he lost the malchus. So let's see the mitzudos. David, Pasuk Dalet, Imruach HaMoshel, Imtal Elecha Chamas HaMoshel, the anger of the Moshel. So here we have a very important translation. Ruach here, according to the Mitzudos, means the anger. This individual is in trouble with the law. The Chamas HaMoshel, Al Taniach Mekoy Moshavcha, Livroach Miponav. Do not run away. Do not get on a plane and run away and try to escape. If you're going to escape, that is the mission of that's another. You're just adding one chait to another chait, and then there's no return. Kimarpe. If a person stays where he is and does not try to fight, but he loosens himself, ki harifyoin, here he's translating the word marpe as loosening, ma shetihye rofui, klinenu, ve'enu nimsar biyodoi, this that a person makes himself loose, mimenu ve'encha nim, ki ma shetihye rofui, mimenu, ve'encha nimsar biyodoi, Zeyaniach the Yitzbor Chatoim Gidol. So I made a mistake. He's translating the passage a little bit differently. If a person, all the way around, I'm sorry, if a person will attempt to loosen himself from the Moshel, meaning to flee, it means to loosen, but it means in the way the Mitzvah is learning Shah the Pasuk is, if you try to loosen yourself from the grip of the Moshel by escaping and running away to a distant location, the Eincha Nimsar Biyado, Zeh, So here yaniach means this is equivalent to placing. It's an admission of guilt. Yaniach, it will put upon the person a heap of sin. Yaniach v'yitzbar, it will now be piled heavily upon the person. Chato'im gidolim. Ki bibor chacha. When a person flees from the moishel, toisif chet. You're adding a chet to, you're compounding one chet with another chet. V'lo yachmo lelecha. And ultimately, when the Moshel does catch up with you, he will not show you compassion. Kasher yasig oischa, when he reaches and overcomes you. So this is the interpretation of the Mitzvot Matam and Ruach Moshel Tal Elecha. If the anger of the Moshel comes upon you, Mekaimcha al Tanach, do not run away. Ki marpe, if you attempt to run away, if you attempt to loosen yourself from the grip of the Moshel, Yaniach, what you're doing is you're really, you're compounding one sin with another sin. It's as if you are bringing upon yourself chato'im gidolim, even greater sins. A sin that's greater than the crime that you actually committed. Rashi, Pasuk Dalit, Ibruach HaMoshel, Moshel Olam. So Rashi's right away jumping to the, right, going into the Midrashic approach. The Moshel here is not a Melech Bosor Vadam. The Moshel here refers to none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchei Amlochim. If a person gets a sense that things are not going his way, he's suffering from Yisurim. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being didactic with him. The Midas Hadin is coming upon him. Moshel HaOilam, Tal Elecha, Ledactic Acharecha, the Midas Hadin. Things are not going your way. Mekoimcha Al Tanach. Now, what does it mean, Mekoimcha? The Rashi says, Midoscha HaToivo Al Tanach. Mekoimcha means your good midos. Every person creates for himself in this world a mokoim. When you go to a base oval, what do you say to the Avelim? Hamokoim yinachem eschem. What does that mean? There are 100 interpretations, but among the 100 interpretations, hamokoim means what the Avel has left, the mokoim that he created. The Avel, he left this world, but he accomplished great things. He left over a mokoim in this world, a family, a legacy. Hamokoim, that mokoim that the Nifter has left in this world shall be for you a continuous source of comfort. And that's exactly what he's saying over here in this pasuk. Mokoimcha, a person's mokoim, the good things that he has accomplished in this world, al tanach, just because things are not going your way, person is suffering yisurim, don't give it all up. Don't just go off the derech. Just hold on to your good midos. Midoscha hatoiva al tanach. Loimalo, to say to himself, my yoyel tzidkasili, what was all my righteousness worth? I spent my whole life serving Hashem and doing Torah mitzvos, and now look at the trouble that I'm in. So I might as well give it all up. Chas v'sholom to say that.
Isn't that what you said?
No, not necessarily. Eve, we learned Eve is very complicated. I don't know if Mamish said such a thing like that. Eve said a lot of things. Okay? It's subject to interpretation. Ki marpe, he said, what does it mean, marpe? Dikduke hadin b'yisurim haboy molecha. So here he translates Rashi al derech drush. Marpe will come loshen of refuah, healing. Ki marpe, the dikduke hadin b'yisurim haboy molecha. Marpe hule avoinar secha. It is a healing. The difficulty that you're enduring in your life is a healing for your neshama. V'yaniach l'cho chato'im g'hagidoylim. And he translates the word v'yaniach to mean it will heal. It will pass. It will be lifted. It will be taken away from you all of the averos that the neshama needs to be cleansed of through the Yisurim. So obviously, according to Rashi, we have a very, very different interpretation of the pasuk. Number one, Ruach means Midas Hadin. The Moshel is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mekoimcha al Tanach means your good midos, your good hanhagos, your righteousness, ki marpe, because this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing upon you, Midas Hadin, is a healing. Ki marpe, it is a healing for your neshama, and through this healing for your neshama, yaniach chato'im gedolim, you will be cleansed, you will be healed for many averos. Very, very different than what it said in the Mitzudos. Now let's see the Targum Pasuk Dalet. In Rucha di Yitzra Bisha. Okay, a whole new interpretation. If the Yetzer Hara comes upon you, the Moshel is the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah generally rules over a person's neshama with an iron fist. You don't fight with the Yetzirah. It's like a wife. Whatever it tells you to do, you do. That's the Yetzirah. In Rucha, the Yitzra Bisha Mesalbach, it rules over you. I'm trying to wake you up.
Well, there's a difference between Kishamata Lakolish Tefa and Kolasher Tomari Lechasarash Mamsa Allah.
If the spirit of the Yetzer Hara rules over you, Umiskabar Lemisakalach, and prevails to ascend upon you, Asroch tov dehaveso noheg lemekam be lo sishpo. The mukaimcha is pretty much the same interpretation as Rashi. Your good midos, the good things, your good conduct that you have accomplished in this world, you should not abandon. Arum, because, why not? Now here he says something a little bit different. Piskomei raisa, the words of Torah ispiriu were created osuba olma as a healing in this world. Lemishbak uleminshe, to remove and to cause to be forgotten, min kodom Hashem, choivin rather than great sins. Targum is adding a line to the pasuk, is telling us based upon Chazal, barasi yetzahara, barasi Torah tavlin. So the yetzar toiv is synonymous with Torah. If the yetzahara comes upon you, in Pogaba Menuvel Zeh, basically what it says in this pasuk according to the Targum is Moshehu Lebeis HaMedrash. Then the Yetzahara, just because the Yetzahara is here and it's starting up with you, don't leave your Mokaim. What is the Mokaim? Your Mokaim, according to Targum, your Mokaim in Torah. Go to the Mokaim of Torah and learn Torah, and through the learning of Torah, you will be healed. Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. It's the antidote. The learning of the Torah will heal you from the koyach, from the passion, the lust of the Yetzer Hara, and by doing so you will spear yourself from Chatoim Gidoilim, from very great sins. So we take a look at this pasuk so far, three very different interpretations according to the three basic Mahalchim, the Mitzudas David, we're dealing with a Melech Basar Vadam who is coming to accuse you of a crime. Confess. Don't run away. If you try to run away, you're looking for trouble. Then you're in a lot of. If you're going to marpay, you're going to loosen yourself from their grip. It's even a greater sin. Rashi, we're dealing with the midas hadin. A person is suffering yisurin. Accept it. Accept the yisurin be'ahava, and that will be a kapara for a person for the neshama. According to Targum, we're dealing with the battle between the Yetzer Toiv and the Yetzer Hara. And the solution, the way to win the battle is to learn Torah. Torah is the Marpe. The word Marpe is a code word for the Torah Tavlin. Okay, now there's another beautiful drush I came across here. The Moishel refers to the desire of Sarara. Every person, every healthy person in this world has a desire of power, to be a politician, to be a ruler, to be a rabbi. Every person in this world has some desire to be in a position of leadership where you control other people. In Ruach HaMoshel Talalech, a person gets the Yetzirah, I want to be the President of the United States. I have that desire to be in a position of power, that Ruach, that Gaiva. Don't get carried away. Stay where you are. Be a private citizen. Sarara is a curse. Sarara, power, yeah?
Can we reverse it? That the Torah is the preventive of the Yetzirah.
Yes.
And the Torah curing.
Both. It's the ultimate preventive medicine. But not only is it a preventive medicine, if Chas Hashem, a person already was nichshol, then it can heal him as well. Marpe is a term according to the Targum of a medicine. it's a preventive medicine, and it's even a medicine that can be used after the person is ill. Okay, but this idea is a different idea. In Ruach HaMoshe L'Tal Alecha, a person has a desire to be in a position of leadership. Shlomo is saying, take it from me. There's no greater leader in the world than myself. I rule the entire world from end to end, and I can tell you, it's not so much fun. It's not so much fun. In fact, you see all of the very great leaders in the history of the world, the leadership came to them against their will. I'm listening very, very fascinating to Rabbi Mark Heffney. He has a very lengthy discussion about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe did not in any way want to be the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He had an older brother-in-law, Rav Shemaria Gur Aryeh. He was the older brother-in-law. The sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe had three daughters. And he was married, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was married to the youngest daughter. And he never in his wildest dreams imagine that he would one day become the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe. It was Pashut that the one that would succeed the Rebbe would be the oldest son-in-law, whose name was Rav Shemaria Gur Aryeh. I don't know all the pratim. And even when the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe died, it was Pashut. In fact, it's the alana of the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe also very much wanted the oldest son-in-law to be the Rebbe, and Ad Kedei Kach, she never, I don't think she accepted him. If I'm mistaken, she never accepted. She never gave him the strimal. The way, the meaning among Hasidim, this is what the way Rav Kefet at least records it. What? Well, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, he wore a strimal. All the Lubavitcher Rebbe, a spadik. So this is a very unique feature about Lubavitch. The Lubavitcher Rebbe wears a down hat. He wears a regular hat, just like me and you. I mean, they have a little bit different. The pinches are a little bit more pronounced. Okay, but isn't that very shocking? You're talking over here an enikel of the Baal Shem Tov. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was an enikel of the Baal Shem Tov. I think he was. Yeah, he was.
I don't think he wasn't.
No one's Enkel. Only Rav Denker.
Okay, but it's pretty close. Maybe the... Okay, he
was a town with the Magid, yeah.
So what's going on? How could he... What is going on to be wearing red? His mother-in-law never gave him the strimal or the spadik of his father-in-law. Because that is...
She was upset?
Yeah. Wow. Because she felt she wanted the older son-in-law, and he initially refused to accept it until the Hasidim put upon him so much pressure, enormous pressure. They continuously pressured him that he should accept it. They wanted him more than his. They felt he was cut out for the job, more so than his older brother-in-law, and they pretty much forced it upon him. And he became, it's all history, and his brother-in-law later on became a chassid. Rav Shemaria Gur Aryeh, the older brother-in-law, later in life, he humbled himself, was kafaf to his younger brother-in-law, he accepted his younger brother-in-law as the Rebbe. But his mother-in-law never gave it over, never gave him the strimal. The strimal was never given. That's why until the very, very end, he never wore a strimal. And Lubavitch, he's supposed to wear a strimal. Lubavitch Rebbe never wore a strimal.
It's true that Lubavitch wears a strimal. Interesting.
And he says, Rabbi Kevin says, that his wife, that Lubavitch Rebbe's wife did not go to the Fabrings. She because she did not want to hurt her sister. Because since there was this contention between who really was meant to be the Rebbe, she was sensitive to her sister, that her sister's husband really should have been the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe, so she stayed out. She didn't want to cause tsar. Fascinating. So what do you learn from this? I mean, he presents it, he has all the stories, he quotes Talishkin and Miller, all the biographies, and he has a lot of other things, a lot of new things, a lot of things that are not available. But one point he makes very strongly is that he never wanted this position. And it's not just true for the Lubavitcher Rebbe, there are a lot of great leaders. Go not look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu refused. There's never been a leader in the history of Klal Yisrael like Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, we're talking Moshe Rabbeinu, we're talking over here in the 20th century, Lubavitcher Rebbe. You can't say the Lubavitcher Rebbe, whatever you want to go say about him, you can't say that he wasn't a very powerful leader, had enormous influence, and it came upon them against their will. Shlach na b'yat tishlach. Moshe says, I don't want. Hashem said, I don't care what you want. You're going to do it, whether you like it or not. And any problem that you have, I'll take care of. I'll have Aaron will help you out. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. In Ruach HaMoshe Tal Le'olecha Mekomcha Al Tanach. Leadership, to some degree, obviously there has to be a balance, but to some degree is something which you should not seek. If Hashem wants you to be a leader, it will come to you. Don't pursue leadership. Stay where you are. Remain a private citizen. Ki marpei. Now, how do you ki marpei? Yaniach hatoim gedolim. If you will loosen yourself, meaningly, if you humble yourself, you will avoid great sin. Being a leader comes with baggage. You can make big mistakes. If you're not cut out to be the proper leader and you pursue leadership and you enter into it and you make a mistake, you could destroy the world. You can press the nuclear bomb, you can press the button, and you'll kill millions of people. Who asked you for this? I wanted this. Now, obviously, you have to take this with a grain of salt. I mean, if you go and you see that there are foolish people out there that are trying to become the President of the United States.
That's what Trump thinks.
And you know that you can rise to the occasion to save the world. Okay, you know, you have to take this with a grain of salt. But the thrust of leadership should be with the attitude that if it's meant to be, it will come to me. It's not something which I will seek. And the proof is in the pudding. Because if you study history, I don't have too many examples, I don't know anything about history, but this is... What?
George Washington did not want to...
Did not want to be?
Oh, yeah. Did not want to be the first president.
If you study, I know a Rav now, someone got a very good job recently. He did not want it. He did not seek it. It totally came to him. It was forced upon him. Even my father was a rabbi. My father wasn't planning on becoming a rabbi. People came and they demanded that he come. He should try out for a shtela, and he came, and then just somehow became the rabbi. He was rabbi there for 29 years. And he had no. In fact, even when my father became rabbi, he told me he doesn't want it. He didn't want it. He said, I'm not... They voted in. My father was voted in. And then he called him up and he said he's not really interested. And yet, he ended up becoming... Leadership position is something which generally in life...
Well, you have an example now. Paul Ryan did not want to be speaker.
Oh, they're excellent. Excellent.
He's supposed to be speaker.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Exactly. So this is something that you look in history, you see great leaders, people who succeed. That was not everyone that becomes that's forced to become a leader succeeds. We all know that people who become who are forced into positions of leadership, sometimes they fail miserably. Everyone knows that there's no guarantees for anything in life. But it's a very powerful idea. It's something where you can study history to see, and it's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. In Ruach HaMoshe Tal Le'olecha, you know what? If the Yetzirah to become a leader comes upon you, calm down. Take a cold shower. Mekoimcha al Tanach. Stay where you are. You're asking for trouble. Ki marpei. If you will loosen yourself from the grip of this Yetzer Hara to be the world leader, you will spare yourself from a lot of tzaras. Ki marpei yaniach chatoim yedoylem. Okay, that's a powerful part. Alright, let's go to the next pasuk. Let's see what we have over here. If I have something I forgot. Okay, one more idea. This really is a... who says it? This is the Nahari Mintz. Okay, just a little, I saw this. He's not the only one that says it. I saw this in a few places. This the same idea. If the Yetzirah, it's a spin off on what the Targum says. If the Yetzirah comes upon you, it means focus on the mokom you're going to go, the grave. Mekoimcha means every single person has one thing in this world, Dalet Amos, to be buried. Truth is, there's no guarantee of that either. Achman Litzan, we see from 9/11, people can be vaporized. Keirach, even in the modern 21st century, there's no guarantees for nothing. But generally, what? That's the exception. Generally, every person, if you want to talk about your makom in this world, everything is batel and mevutel. Nothing is forever. Money, health, happiness, no guarantees. The only thing that's guaranteed forever is there's a makom in this place, Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, where the person will be buried. The Koimcha al Tanakh, don't forget to focus on if the Yetzer comes to you and says, come, let's do an Avera. Tell the Yetzirah, I'm going to a Mokam, I'm going into the grave sooner or later. And in that Mokam, this event, this action that you're persuading me to do, is not going to be in my best interest. If you focus on the kever, then that will be a kimarpe, loosening yourself from the grip of the yetzahar by focusing on the mochaim. Yaniyah chato imdil will save the person from very great sins. Okay, let's stop here with this. We'll pick it up tomorrow with pasuk hey.